Good to see everyone out today. It's especially welcoming to have the visitors here with us. We encourage you to linger afterwards so we can get to know you better. If you're following along this morning, our main text is going to be 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. Before we get there, though, Genesis 6:4 tells us, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, who were old men of renown." We know that they had giants back then. Some of them were giants of wisdom. Some of them were physical giants. And Goliath was a well-known giant that we read in stories, especially in children's stories. Like David, we have the power to overcome and cope with what seems insurmountable. We know that the spies feared the people in the land of Canaan that they were going to take that God had promised, except for Jacob and Caleb. They believed in the promise that God made to them, and this morning we're going to see that we can believe in those promises also. Let's go to our text this morning and read before we get started too far into the lesson. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ." So, our warfare is not carnal in nature, and it's not just about those things that look big to us. And, you know, big can be everything from size to, of course, wisdom and renown. And in the late 1960s, there's a TV show called Land of the Giants. Now, several people from Earth found that their traveling spaceship, that was more like an airliner, some kind of way went to another planet where everything was large. Every week they fought against children, they fought against cats, and they fought against the size that they had. I actually seen the telephone that they had, the giant telephone that they tried to use, and they had its props at Universal Studios about 20 years ago. So it was a popular show back then, but you kind of get the idea of what's insurmountable back then. So some things seem large to us in life. Some things do seem like they're hard, and since we would struggle to get over them. Some things we think we just can't do it. But as we see with God, all things are possible. All things can be done. Whatever your struggles are with sin, God's power can help you take captive of that. But you have to tap into God's power to do it. You have to want to do it. And it kind of begs the question, what if everything was bigger than us? How would we deal with it? Like in the show, they came up with strange and inventive ways to overcome those who are much larger than us. And the truth is, we do live in a land of giants. There are things bigger than us that seem to stand between us and what God wants us to be. In the Old Testament, God sent His people to a place called the Promised Land. It was a great place to live, but it was inhabited with giants, which they had to face and defeat. We live in a land of giants, again, not carnally, not in that way that we war, the way people war today, but giants of intellect who would tell us there is no God, giants of notoriety who would do the same and tell us that religion is foolish, that it's a fable, it's something we need to leave in the past. It has no value today. If a presidential candidate puts too much stock in God, and that's from a nation, again, as I said in class, 75% claim to be Christians, but if a person prays to God and uses that influence to make their decision, everyone wonders about it. So, there's a lot of people who say they love God. A lot of people claim to be Christians. But when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, as we might say, they're just not there. They don't really trust in it. So the warfare that you and I face as Christians is necessary. We must all face the fact that spiritual warfare is necessary. God never varnishes over the fact that there's going to be warfare for his children. He told Moses there would be blessings and enemies in the promised land, Exodus 3:16 and 17. He promised Joshua the land, but told him he would have to be strong and courageous to face his challenges, Joshua 1:1-7. He promised Gideon he would save Israel, but he has to face the Midianites in Judges 6:15-16. He anointed to be king, David to be king in his youth, but also that David would still have Goliath in Saul's fight. Most of the Psalms was written when Saul was after him, the current king of Israel, was after the future king of Israel. But that's why Saul was going to be the past king, because he thought he could affect God's plan, and we can't do that. Our Savior was also not any less forthcoming with his disciples. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of this world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. And I see everywhere, and I've seen this over the years in the church, is a lot of churches, they just want to be like the rest of the world. We want to be like them. We want to have a building like them. We want to be seemingly nice like them. We don't want to tell anyone that they need to change their lives, that they need to obey God, that we need to tell them that Jesus obeyed his Father, we need to obey Jesus, and that his commands are what we need to follow. They don't want to do that because it seems harsh, it seems direct. They want to be like everyone else. They want to have all these things that other people have. And you know, in some measure, it's good to help people out in the community and everything, and we've been called to do that. But at the same time, we have a message in a gospel that's vastly different from the gospel that people out there. Jesus said the only way to the Father is through him. And that's what we preach. We preach his command. Other people would say, well, just get to God. As long as you love God, you can get to him any way you want to. But the Bible never tells us that. I can't teach you what the Bible doesn't tell you. And if I teach you something that's not in the Bible, then as a congregation, you need to tell me this is not in the Bible. Where did you get this? That is the obligation we have. He goes on to say in that verse, yet because you're not of this world, I chose you out of this world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the words that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. John 15:18-20. In other words, there is great joy and blessing in following Christ, but there will also be battles to fight, and they're necessary and they're real. It's not easy to go up and tell someone they're doing wrong. If you listen to the politicians and this week's current scandal with them, you never hear them say, well, or you never hear their accusers say they lied, or they say that I lied. I misspoke. I had poor judgment. They just don't want to say that word. But the fact of the matter is, if we're honest, if we're humble, if we're Christian, then we have to say that I'm a sinner. And I fail every day. I do things that are wrong, that are against God. Even though I try, I'll never be perfect. And that's why I need Jesus. Just as the song says, I need him every hour. I need him every day. I need him every minute, and I need him every second. The nature of our warfare is we are engaged in an offensive warfare. We're out there to try to help others find Christ. We're not entrenched. We're not sitting in our own little enclave like maybe the Amish might be out there in their own community, and they separate themselves from the rest of the world. But God's plan, God's gospel, is something that we live to this world. In everyday life, as we live our life, as the things we do, the things we say, that they measure up to what Christ wants us to be. And where the opportunity presents itself, we try to persuade others of the life that we have in Christ and the joy that we have and how they can have that too. When Goliath engaged Israel, Saul hid in his tent and hoped everything would work out. When the Midianites destroyed Israel, Gideon was hiding in a wine press. They had adopted the philosophy of Charlie Brown. Everybody likes Charlie Brown and Peanuts. He told Lucy one time, I have a new philosophy. I'm only going to dread one day at a time. You know, and we can't go out there and dread the days out there. We can't dread being a Christian. We can't dread the idea that someday somebody might say something like, everything's okay, do whatever you want to do, and that we might have to say, well, that's not exactly what the Bible says. That's not popular to be confrontational today. And I don't say be confrontational in an ugly way, in a hurtful way, but in that meek and gentle voice that God wants us to have, with that quiet answer, we tell them, that's not what the Bible says. We're not told to run for cover, either. A mother came home from shopping to find five of her children sitting quietly in a circle. When she looked inside the circle, they saw they had five young skunks they had found outside. Without thinking, she yelled, run, children, run, run. They did, but not before each child grabbed the skunk to take with them. And we're often kind of like children. When faced with the giants of life, we panic and make a mess out of things. We just grab, you know, something and take off. She wanted them to run from the skunks and the danger of the glands that they have. We all know about that. But what they did was they grabbed up what they thought were their new little pets and took them. We need to run from sin, but we need to leave the sin behind. Don't leave it tied to the ankle like a ball and chain. God calls us to pull down strongholds. It means to dethrone, to help people realize that they should take themselves off the throne of their life and put God and Jesus on the throne of their life. Who rules over you? Who rules over me? I hope this morning we can say that Christ rules over me. God rules my life. And everything I do for Him, because He's done everything for me. He's died for me. And I have a life eternal because of His sacrifice. So we need to give up those things. It says to cast down imagination. That means we have to conquer those imaginations. You know, it's all popular now to go see spiritualists, mediums, cryptozoology, and people chasing after Bigfoots and UFOs and aliens and all this kind of stuff out there. Well, really what they should be doing is chasing after God. Like in Psalms where we read, as the deer pants after the water in the stream, we should chase after and thirst after God. Put these things out of your head, because those are the things that we shouldn't believe in. Those are the things that people chase after. They think the UFOs are going to come down and give us the cure for cancer and everything is going to be all right. Well, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I do know this, that if I do get cancer and I succumb to it, that I just change addresses and I go to heaven and I'm with Jesus for eternity. Never to suffer again in this life, but to praise Him in the next life and to live in that mansion. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that a giant is anything that exalts itself above God. Anything that puts priority over God in our life is a giant that we need to conquer. We need to find a smooth stone, trust God, and fling that stone into the sins in our lives, to the obstacles in our lives, those people who intimidate us when we try to spread the gospel to them, those people who put us down. We need to understand that God gives us the power to overcome that. So David slew his giant. We can slay our giant. So Goliath was a big fella, and he was physical. But they're intellectual giants, people that seem to have all the knowledge and experts, and be experts in their lives. How can we stand against the evidence? There's no easy way but learning these arguments and learning these things that would separate people from God, cause them to lack faith or not have faith at all. And material giants, people who have so much more than we do. Who are we to question the rich man, the person who knows how to make money, the person who knows how to run a business? But that's not the wisdom of God. So in the end, a giant is anything or anyone that refuses to give God his rightful place. Anyone who puts himself above God makes himself greater and bigger than God. He tries to make himself out to be a giant. But he's only a giant in his mind and in the mind of those who believe him. But we're giants in God's eyes. With God's help, we're giants because of his power. The weapons in our fight. Weapons of warfare are not coins. We can't not spread the gospel because we're not famous. I heard a famous person one time said, who gave himself over to the Lord, well, my notoriety can help people come to God. Well, that's not what it's about. It's the gospel that saves. Just because you're rich or famous or known, that doesn't matter. The gospel comes in the humblest of pastures. Look at the disciples that Jesus chose for him. Not one of them a rich man. Not one of them thought highly. Some of them despised by those around them. So we can't fight God just with what's the flesh within us, our, you know, those abilities. But weapons we can trust. Weapons that are mighty with God. In Galatians 2:20 reminds us, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Does Christ live in you this morning? If he doesn't, then you're going to stand there and be fearful of everything around you. You're going to be fearful of circumstances. You're going to be fearful of those who come around and ridicule your religion. You're going to be fearful of those that you can't speak to when the opportunity presents itself. You're going to be fearful of all those things. But if Christ lives in us, if we read this and believe this each and every day, then we're going to know that there are bigger things that we can do because of the one who is in us. Not because we stand tall physically. Not because, you know, we stand strong physically. Not because people know who I am and trust me and believe in me. But because Christ lives within us, he gives us that stature. We can't trust the weapons of the world. We have to trust in the armor that Paul told us to wear. The armor of the gospel of Christ. The armor of the scripture. The armor of faith. The armor of prayer. All these things make up the armor that can make us strong. Nothing more fearful for a soldier than to try to go to battle with no weapons. If they run out of bullets, if they have nothing, if they don't have any kind of body armor or anything like that, it's quite fearful because you're not going to last long. You're not going to be able to stand up to your enemy. So, if we clothe ourselves, it's like taking a test. If you're well prepared and know the stuff on the test you're going to take, you don't go and take the test with a lot of fear. But if you didn't get to study much and you tried last minute studying and it just won't stick in your head, there's a lot of fear going in for that test. So, learn what God wants us to be and what he wants us to learn. In God's word, it says, we'll never return void. God's word is not empty. God's word is not hollow. Prayer, he's always listening and ready to answer. We can go to God 24/7 and we should go to him continuously throughout our day to beseech him with those we care to pray about and what our needs are. And his people. He always has those who are ready to fight. So what giants do you face in your life? You find other people, circumstances, anything else within your own heart or mind coming between you and obeying God with your whole heart. Hebrews 12:1-2 gives the ultimate answer for all the giants of life. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Hebrews 12:1-2, I'll close with this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great host of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We don't have to endure the cross. We don't have to endure that agony and pain. We do endure things in this world being a Christian. But if we'll pray and believe God's word, we'll have the strength to overcome whatever obstacles face us and do his will. And I don't know what your need is this morning. If you have need to obey the gospel, to repent, confess and be baptized in Christ, to rise in you as a new creature, to walk with Him, or if you have other needs of the church, whatever they might be, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?